This is a podcast from the Royal Air Force Museum. For further information, please go to www.rafmuseum.org/podcasts. The Saunders Row SRA-1. The war effort against Japan in the Pacific suffered substantially from a lack of airstrips, as many of the small islands were not big enough or suitable for runways and buildings. A flying boat using the sea or lagoons as a runway would allow space for the necessary support structures, as there would be no need for a runway on the land. With the application of the new jet engine to Allied fighters during 1942, the idea of a jet-powered flying boat fighter was developed for the RAF by Saunders Row in 1943. Saunders Row, a subsidiary of Avro, was well known for building flying boats, and the Ministry issued them a contract to build three prototypes on the 29th of April 1944. Discussions between Saunders Row and the Ministry finalised the design. It was not to be a large aircraft, but would be capable of operation across the world and at high altitude. This particular request required it to be fitted with a pressurised cockpit. The aircraft bore a design that was nothing like any other RAF aircraft. Its nose was an oval intake for the two Metropolitan Vickers Beryl jet engines, from which the fuselage sloped up to a single-seat cockpit covered by a canopy, whilst the underside of the aircraft formed a hull not too dissimilar to that of a boat. The wings were mounted high on the fuselage in line with the cockpit, and the tailplane was mounted high on the tail in a similar way to the Gloucester Meteor. Jet pipes protruded from the body at the wing roots, and the only undercarriage fitted was a retracting float at the end of each wing. If the aircraft was to be moved onto land, a special set of wheels known as beaching trolleys had to be fitted. Like most fighters of the time, there was only a single pilot. They were sat in a pressurised and heated cockpit in, unusually for the time, a Martin Baker Mark I ejection seat. In fact, the first SRA-1 used the first Martin Baker ejection seat to be delivered straight to a manufacturer. They also wore an anti-G suit, and an inflatable K-type emergency dinghy was stored under the seat. This design gave it quite a tall, fat look, which made its 46-foot wingspan look rather stubby. An interesting feature of the hull was a ship-style rudder at the rear end, connected by the same controls as the aircraft rudder for water manoeuvring, though this was locked centrally in flight. Although not armed, space was provided for four 20mm Hispano Mark V cannon above the engine intake. As armament had not been fitted, the ports were fitted with auto-observers for test monitoring purposes. There was also provision for underwing armament such as bombs, rockets or additional fuel tanks. All three aircraft were built at Saunders Row's Anglesey factory before being transported by road to the company's main works at Cowes on the Isle of Wight for completion and taxiing trials. The type became affectionately known as Squirts to Saunders Row employees. On the same day as the taxiing trials, the 16th of July 1947, the first flight was made. The takeoff run across the Solent took less than 12 seconds, and the aircraft climbed nicely into the sky, though at this point it was lightly loaded with fuel and equipment. The other two aircraft joined the test programme on completion in 1948, as a few modifications were made to the design. The Spitfire-style bubble canopy was replaced by a strengthened version, whilst a bullet fairing on the fin and tailplane was added to smooth the airflow. A similar addition was made to the Meteor. Other alterations involved the fuel systems and the design of the rudder. As soon as Saunders Row had finished their own trials with the aircraft, two of them were dispatched for assessment by the RAF at the Marine Aircraft Experimental Establishment in Felixstowe. The Marine Aircraft Experimental Establishment was the test base for all military seaplane or flying boat designs for both the RAF and the Royal Navy. Although a strong aircraft development agency since its conception in 1918, the post-war decline of the flying boat in RAF use and the Royal Navy's use of aircraft carriers for testing saw it with little military use. It centred only on civilian aircraft after 1953. With two of the SRA-1s to test and demonstrate, air displays and test flights featuring the aircraft were on the agenda. At this stage, a production run of the aircraft would have had little purpose. The war against Japan in the Pacific had ended 3 years previously, and the contraction of RAF presence from other countries saw the flying boat as unnecessary. Even Coastal Command, a long-term bastion of flying boats, were converting to long-range land-based aircraft such as the Avro Shackleton. Such a background to the development hampered any plans for the future development of the type. The two SRA-1s used by the Marine Aircraft Experimental Establishment were only used to gather general information about modern jet-powered flying boats. SRA-1s were found to be highly manoeuvrable and were capable of over 500 miles an hour, easily beating their land-based contemporaries for performance and speed. On practicing a routine for an air show in poor weather, one of the aircraft crashed into the sea, tragically killing the pilot. The third aircraft, which had slightly higher powered engines, was kept by Saunders Roe as a type demonstrator and display piece. Its first appearance was the 1948 Society of British Aircraft Companies show at Farnborough, where it showed what it could do in a very low pass of the airfield whilst upside down. The idea of a flying boat performing such a manoeuvre was incredible to those watching, and it has not been bettered since. On the 6th of April 1949, this aircraft was landing near Cowes when it struck an obstacle in the water. The right-hand side of the hull was ripped open, and the right float was ripped off. The pilot luckily escaped, but the aircraft sank. Testing with the remaining aircraft stopped soon after the second crash in 1949. The reasons for this being that there was little additional information that could be gained after 2 years of testing, the second being that Metropolitan Vickers had left the jet engine market, leaving few spares available for the Beryl engines. In November 1950, testing briefly resumed, but the aircraft made its final public appearance at the Festival of Britain in June 1951. By this time, it was no longer a military aircraft and carried the SBAC registration code G12-1. For this display, it landed on the Thames at Woolwich and was towed by boat up the river to the festival site on the South Bank, where it was displayed to the public. The aircraft now survives at Southampton Hall of Aviation, close to where it was built. The SRA-1 was, in so many respects, a great technological achievement. Not only did it exceed its original specified requirements, but it also achieved some incredible engineering feats that have never since been replicated. Had the SRA-1 entered production, the results of the tests undertaken by the Marine Aircraft Experimental Establishment tell us that it would have been a great sea-based fighter aircraft. The start of the Korean War gave the project some additional hope, and the idea of the aircraft being based alongside support ships was put forward, though came to nothing. By this time, land and carrier-based fighters had removed the idea of the flying boat concept completely from the RAF's thoughts.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from the Royal Air Force Museum.